Welcome back to another episode of Your Pocket Nurse, a podcast for student and graduate nurses. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the original owners of the land that I am recording on. I pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. Today, I'm chatting to Han, who's also known on Insta as the Breakthrough Nurse. So, hello.
Hello. I'm so excited to be chatting to you.
Thanks for joining me. How are you?
I am really good. Thank you. I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited too, because I think like everything we're going to discuss today is, you know, so important to new grads starting next year, to current nurses, midwives, paramedics, you know, anyone in the healthcare field, and also to all my other friends that listen that aren't in healthcare but just love supporting you. There's going to be lots of good tips for everyone, I suppose.
Yes. Be so good.
Yeah. So firstly, I just want to get to know you a bit more. So can you tell us a bit about yourself and your business and your background in nursing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a registered nurse, a master mindset coach, and also a dog mum. I've been on a huge journey throughout uni, getting my degree and then my nursing career this far. So I've been nursing for 7 years. And really the journey was with my mindset and my mental health. So I really battled through uni with a lot of thoughts of feeling unworthy and really having extreme social anxiety. So every practical assessment where they were watching me and like every presentation, every class, every prac, I felt so out of place and just so anxious. And I just didn't have the mindset or the tools to work through that at the time. And so everything really felt like a struggle. I ended up pushing my way through uni and I landed my dream grad year placement and was so excited, but also so nervous. And I remember starting on the ward and like feeling that intense fear and like all of my anxiety and self-doubt, everything I was experiencing throughout uni came up like even stronger. And so I really felt like, how on earth am I going to do this? Like, how am I actually going to be a nurse? Like, I'm responsible for people now. And I just didn't have that self-belief. And at the same time, I kind of fell into a business as well, which sounds weird, but it was like this space for me to be inspired and kind of kept me going through like a really difficult grad year. And through this business, I really fell into the world of personal development. And I started to go into this journey. And up until that point, I'd honestly thought like all the anxiety, the negative thinking, the lack of confidence, the self-doubt were all just how I was. I thought, okay, well, this is just how I am. This is how I'm going to feel forever. And I didn't think there was a way of feeling or showing up differently. And through like a lot of deep inner work and learning about myself, I was actually able to let go of so much past conditioning and emotional baggage and also rewire my thinking and actually like step into my confidence and who I wanted to be. And through like that time, I actually found a coach who was helping me. And although it was for business, it literally changed my nursing career as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah. And this is really where the Breakthrough Nurse was born. So I experienced NLP and timeline therapy. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. Basically, it's like working with your subconscious mind. So your subconscious mind is where all of our emotions, our thought patterns, the way we see the world, like all of our beliefs, it remembers everything that's happened in our life, is stored. And so if you want to change, you know, how you're feeling, you've got to really go to this place. And I had no idea what it was going into the sessions, but it changed me so profoundly. And I was like, I need to look into this. Like, what is this witchcraft? And so I like looked into it and ended up studying it and becoming a master practitioner in both modalities. And like this feeling that I got from my own breakthroughs is really, I was like, I just need to bottle this and like give it to all of my colleagues. Because while I was going through this, all my friends around me were also experiencing different levels of this and, you know, different things, but all coming back to like what's happening in their inner world and kind of like as I was going through it, I was realizing like everyone, you know, needs this. And so really my mission behind the Breakthrough Nurse is to help nurses, healers, and empaths to break through their limiting beliefs, to start putting themselves first, let go of their past, their emotional trauma, and really step into their queen version and, you know, feel confident and feel good to show up at work and to say what they want to say and just feel in their power. Mm-hmm. And have the tools to do that.
Yeah, that's really important because, like, obviously I'm just about to finish my grad year in Jan, and you know, everything you've said, like, you know, you feel it when you're a new grad. And I remember just like the first weeks, like, I, you know, we had 3 supernumerary shifts, and after every supernumerary shift I was like, oh my god, I'm going to have to be the actual nurse in like 2 shifts, and then it's like, yeah, in 1 shift. And then, you know, the night before I was so stressed, and it's not because, like, you know, I knew what I had to do, but I just thought, like, I just can't do it, you know. Yeah. It's just such a weird thing how our mind works like that, you know. Even, yeah, though we've done the training for it, we've done all the placements, we have the knowledge, like, yes, we're, you know, not as knowledgeable as, you know, a nurse that's been working for 30 years, like, we're, you know, new nurses, but we still know things. So
yeah,
it's just so strange how, like, our mind wants to work against us, because yeah, it just makes you feel so, like, not capable, and just, you know, makes you feel crap. Well, that's how I felt, yeah, you know, 100%. And it just, yeah, and it just destroys your confidence, because I was like, am I meant to be a nurse? Like, is everyone feeling like this? But not everyone talks about it, you know. Yeah, they don't talk about the struggles. They just, you know, sort of just chat about the highlight reel, like, oh my god, I did this today, I did that today. And it's like, well, how are you feeling, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so important to know as well, like, when we're moving through our comfort zone. So obviously, like, going from uni to your grad year is such a shift in your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. When that's stretched, or you're on the edge of that, your brain actually goes into protective mode. And so all of the deep limiting beliefs and the fear comes up. And it's just knowing and being aware of that, and knowing, like, okay, this is just my mind right now. It's trying to protect me, but I know what I'm doing, and I've got this, and I can do this. But of course, yeah, it feels so, so real in the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose it's, you know, everyone has different coping mechanisms to, like, you know, get over those sort of negative thought patterns and things like that. But I don't know, at the initial time, it's just so scary, you know, just feeling, yeah, like that and not knowing what to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So in your sort of experience, like, how do you think, I suppose, like, would we call this imposter syndrome? Like, these feelings of, yeah, like, not being good enough, or not necessarily good enough, but not feeling capable of doing the job that we are doing.
Yeah, definitely. So it can be like imposter syndrome coming through, or it can just be like, often when we've got these limiting beliefs, they're playing out in other areas of our life. It's just that they're being exacerbated by the situation that we're in.
Mm.
But imposter syndrome, like, from the neurolinguistic point of view, is like your subconscious mind is not on board yet with where you're going and who you're stepping into. So it's trying to hold you back and keep you safe in your comfort zone. That's its job, keep you alive. And you're trying to move forward, get your goals, and, you know, like, do all that you want to do. And so this discrepancy between, like, where we want to go and where our subconscious wants to keep us brings up this imposter syndrome, like, oh, maybe I'm not meant for this, or everyone's going to think I'm a fraud because I'm here, like, I don't even know how I landed this program, etc. So yeah, it's just recognizing that. And I think everybody has moments of that, and as you said, it's just how you deal with that and the tools that you have to work through that.
Yeah, it's really important. And with self-care and things like that come into that as well, like looking after our mind and body and everything, you know, and not, because as you say, like, our mind is sort of, like, the wording, but, you know, we're trying to protect ourselves. That's the brain's doing that. And self-care would obviously help calm us and things like that.
Yeah, 100%. And I love the word self-care, but I think it's like thrown around a lot lately. And so for my nurse clients, what I really recommend and what I love to talk about is like deep self-care. So we've got self-care, like the fluffy stuff, which is nice, you know, the bubble baths, the face masks, and things that, like, in the moment make you feel good, but long term aren't a strategy really, because when you're stressed at work, you can't just be like, all right, guys, I'm going to go have a bath now. See ya. Like, yeah. You've got to deal with it. Yeah. Peace out. You've got to deal with it in the moment. So what I kind of teach and really stand by is like obviously the deep inner work, but I always suggest starting with like having a solid morning ritual for yourself. And so these are obviously long-term solutions. So you want to start, and especially if you're in your grad year, it's great to start having and creating these habits now, because they will serve you throughout your whole career. So an example of like a morning ritual is creating the space for yourself, like really close to when you wake up. And so if you're on a morning shift, and obviously you change this for your shift times, but I know it sucks, but getting up that 5 minutes earlier to pour into yourself is so important. If you feel like you don't have the time and you're rushing around, like setting that alarm 5 minutes before, because what happens when you pour into yourself before you go into a day of giving to others is you actually change how you show up and the trajectory of your day. So your subconscious mind is actually most permeable and most open in the morning right after you've woken up. So you really want to use this to your advantage. So you could try a short guided meditation to really tune in. Or the other thing that I absolutely love, and all my clients froth on this, is it's called solfeggio or binaural beats. And it's like sound healing, and you want to just get your headphones and sit for 5 minutes and tune into your body and just focus on your breath. And that art of tuning in actually creates this connection with yourself, and it really does shift you over time. Of course, you've got to show up consistently. But after you've done that little 5 minute tune in, what you can do is then think about and visualize how you want your day to go. So what happens if we don't create our day? Our day often runs us. So if you wake up, you scroll social media for 5 minutes, automatically you're already putting your brain into like go mode and also bringing your energy down. So you want to pour into yourself first. And you could visualize and just think about like, okay, how do I want to show up today? How do I want the day to go? What am I going to focus on today? Whether that's, you know, showing up confidently or, you know, speaking my truth or whatever it is for you. And really using that to your advantage. And just these little things throughout the day can make such a difference. The other thing I will say, and it sounds so silly, is remembering to breathe throughout your shift in your day. So what happens is we actually start to breathe and get into fight or flight mode when we're like switched on, you know, we're in work mode, we're go, go, go. We just breathe with the top part of our lungs. And what happens with that is like we're in this stress response and we're not breathing deep into our belly, and it's not allowing our body to calm down. So we get more hyped up, more hyped up, more hyped up. And, you know, we're just like kind of wired and on edge. You want to really breathe into your belly. So whether, you know, you're stressed or triggered or something happens at work and you're like, shit, what am I going to do now? Like just take a moment and breathe into your belly. Just allow yourself to tune in, be present in the moment, and allow like a little bit of calm to your nervous system while you're busy. And the other thing that I really recommend is doing something when you get home from your shift. So having post-shift like PM evening wind down rituals, obviously like if you're on nights and stuff, you will switch this around to suit your sleeping times. But having like even just the art of like, okay, how can I care for myself now? So having a shower and just putting candles on, like not having the light, is actually so nurturing in itself. But when you're in the shower, like really intending, and you know, you can do a little visualization and just imagine like, okay, I'm washing all the energy of the day away now. And after that shower, after that little ritual, you can sit down. And if you are one of those people who takes work home with you, then grab a journal and literally like do a brain dump. So if your mind's racing, thinking about, oh my God, this happened, did I do this right? Did I show up right? Did I sign that? Blah, 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 blah. Then sit down and grab your journal and just brain dump everything that's buzzing around in your mind and get it all out on paper. I promise you'll feel so much better after that. And then once that's done, I want you to like reflect and then ask yourself some really good quality questions and just write the answers down. So start to look at like, okay, what am I most proud of today? Because especially when we're starting a new role or we're in our grad year, we're always like, oh my God, did I do this wrong? Or what happened that I did wrong? Or, you know, we're kind of in that mode of looking for problems. So I want you to switch that and think about, what did I do well today? What am I most proud of? Like, what are my wins for the day? How did I show up today? And find the moments where you showed up confidently, or, you know, you took initiative, whatever it is. And also thinking about what challenged me today and writing that out. And then thinking about, what is there for me to work through that was brought up today? And then you also want to do something to calm your nervous system. So I mentioned that the breathing is really important
mm-hmm.
when you can, but I also really recommend breath work as a way to calm your nervous system. So there is lots of beginner ones on YouTube, and you can find something that suits you, but give it a go and try it out. You could also do a meditation, but I know some people really resonate more with the bodily responses with breath work. So that's a few ways you can care for yourself and really start to do the deep self-care that you need to be okay.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. And I like the difference between, like, you know, just normal self-care and deep self-care, because, yeah, like, just listening to you talk about all that, you know, it just really emphasizes the importance of, you know, doing those deeper, meaningful self-care things rather than just like the little quick fixes, because at the end of the day, you know, I'll probably get stressed 10 minutes later afterwards, yeah. You know. But yeah, it's really important. And I find that breathing is so, like, you know, it's such a simple thing to do, because we're always breathing, but making that effort to do those deep breaths helps. And I find that on shift, if I'm getting stressed, you know, especially, you know, sometimes you look at the clock and it's like, oh my God, 8:30, and you're like, oh, I still have to do two more patients' meds and all that stuff. And you start getting stressed, and you don't want to be stressed when you're doing meds. Like, you want a clear head to think about, you know, the medications you're giving your patients. And I find that, you know, I just do those deep breathing exercises just, you know, in the room. No one has to know you're doing big deep breaths, but
yeah.
I find that it helps so much, and it really does sort of clear your mind, and you go, okay, now let's get back into it. Because, you know, as nurses, we're, you know, we are making decisions that impact our patients' health, you know, and then comes, and, you know, we want to make sure that we are feeling well ourselves to look after them. And I find that you don't want to get too stressed out. And yeah, as you said, the breathing works for me, and I'm sure it works for others too.
Yeah, that's incredible that you already do that. I love
it. Yeah, thank you for those tips though. It's really interesting.
You're welcome.
Another thing I wanted to sort of touch on is burnout. I suppose now in the climate of COVID and everything, like, a lot of nurses are feeling it, and, you know, I don't know, I just feel like the aura is so weird at work sometimes. Like, it's better now because we're out of lockdown. But, you know, they're always like, oh, you know, you became nurses at such a bad time. It used to be so much better. And we're like, oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything.
Not giving me much encouragement here, but yeah.
I know, like, I can't change it right now. Like, this is when I've entered the career. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So what do you think about burnout, and like, what are sort of the signs that people can pick up on and, you know, recognize that maybe they need to, like, step back, or, you know, sort of get in tune with themselves and sort of prevent it, I suppose, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, it's so common within healthcare, and especially with the current climate, it's like the mix of the type of giving work and often, like, stressful and traumatic shifts, and the need to be switched on constantly from a nervous system perspective. Like you said, you know, we're influencing the outcomes for our patients. So it's not a job where you can just sit and watch the clock go. Like, you've got to be on, which in turn fires your nervous system up. Obviously the different shifts, and really without, like, proper rituals, awareness and boundaries in place, then burnout's really inevitable. So the first step to really preventing it is actually tuning into yourself and not numbing out. So what I mean by this is, like, I see a lot of nurses and clients when they come to me, they're in this mindset and this mode of, like, keeping going and pushing through and just kind of putting their needs to the bottom of the list. And so there will get to a point, if you're doing that, if you're in that space, where that's no longer an option, because your body will actually give out, and obviously mental health wise as well. there will be a breaking point. So first of all, not judging yourself, but just shining that light of awareness is so important. So firstly, like tuning in to how your body is actually feeling and how you are feeling emotionally. So sitting with your emotions. The next thing is having proper boundaries in place. And this comes after tuning in, because if we don't tune in, we don't really know where we're crossing our own boundaries. So what I see a lot of clients do is not honor themselves. So for example, if you are feeling exhausted, but work asks you to do a double and they kind of guilt you into it, and without tuning into yourself and what you need, you say yes because you feel like you should, then this actually becomes a detriment to you. So at the end of the day, nobody will come in and implement boundaries for you. You have to do it yourself, and you're the one who suffers if you don't implement them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really also important to be aware of your own unique energy and emotional needs. So while you may look around and see some of your colleagues thrive on like being social and being at work and they love that element of it, you might find that after a shift, you just need to be like alone and you need to recharge. And so knowing your energetic needs is so, so important so that you can tune in and recognize the signs that you need a break. So the signs of getting to burnout are really starting to feel distant mentally from your work, from your friends, from your family, from your partner. You know, you might find that you get home and you just don't want to communicate, you kind of shut down. And there is like elements to this. So of course, if you're an introvert and you just want to have your solitude, absolutely fine. But when it starts to become a problem and you literally do not have the capacity for those that you love, you know, you're starting to like teeter on the edge of getting to that burnout phase, as well as like getting really impatient and snappy and frustrated, and seeing that kind of change in your personality because you're giving, giving, giving. And of course, there's going to come a point where there's no more to give. So those are a few of the signs, but you will know if you really tune into yourself what you're experiencing.
I guess it's hard for some people sort of to differentiate. Are they just run down? You know, I commonly just sort of just go, oh, I'm feeling tired, I'm just run down, you know, have a big sleep. But then you don't know like if this is like your body saying like, no, you actually need like a proper break from work. And you know, I see like some of my colleagues at work and I just don't know what to say. I'm like, how are you? And she's like, well, I'm here. And I say, well, what's that meant to mean? Are you okay? You know, and I feel that it's just like, it's just hard, you know. And like, how do you offer, you know, sort of support to like your friends if they're feeling burnt out? Because it's not so simple as just like, oh, quit your job and, you know, go find a new one. You know, it's like a bit hard, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's also having those rituals in place for yourself. The more you do those things, the more you tune in, the more you'll recognize what's coming up for you and your needs. And also looking at like when the last time was that you actually took like a proper recharge away from work. Mm-hmm. And if it hasn't been for a while, then maybe that's something to look at and be like, okay, I'm going to give myself this time so that you can get back to you and you can do the things that light you up outside of work, whether that's hobbies or passion projects, but those things that really pour into your soul and like inspire you and make you feel passionate are also really important, because burnout is like that soul level tired. Like it's not just you know, mentally tired, it's like all of the soul, the emotions, the physical body, it's all of that tied together. So there's so many factors in it, but I think, you know, taking that break when you need it is also really, really important.
Yeah, that's really important. And I think, you know, we do get annual leave for a reason, so use it.
Absolutely.
And you know, even I suppose normalizing sort of, you know, we get sick days as well, and you don't have to be like physically sick with a cold or, you know, mental health days, so important. And I feel like, you know, it's just, You know, I feel guilty sometimes just calling in sick when I just know I just can't do it tomorrow. You know, like I'm just like, there's no way I can put on a smile and just be there for my patients because I'm just not feeling it. You know, you just need one day. You know, but I think it's important that we sort of normalize it because, you know, we should use it to benefit ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I used to take mental health days during my grad year too. And, you know, you just, like you said, you feel like, I just can't do it. Like, and that day that you have for yourself really does change everything, as opposed to like pushing through that and, you know, doing it because you feel like you should, then that has the flow on effect into your life. And you might not even recharge on your days off after you've, you know, pushed yourself that hard.
Exactly. And I think it's also like important to sort of recognize that, you know, people may feel burnt out for like a variety of reasons, and I suppose it's, you know, important to, you know, talk to someone like yourself, like a professional sort of that has knowledge about it, and sort of recognize like what's making you feel burnt out. Like maybe is it the travel to work, is it, you know, is it the actual work, is it the people, is it the skills there you don't feel interested anymore? It's just because you can feel burnt out for a variety of reasons, and you know, COVID is one of them, but there might be like an underlying issue that's sort of exacerbating how you're feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as well, like tagging onto that, if you tune in and you figure out like, oh, I'm just really not feeling this area anymore, like I'm not passionate about it anymore, and there is something else that lights you up, like making the headway and taking the steps to start moving and shifting, because you don't have to stay in one place if it's not really lighting you up anymore.
100%. And like, I think that's like one of the reasons I chose nursing, because there's so many areas, and I feel like I've mentioned this so many times in different episodes, but you know, chatting to so many different nurses in different areas has just made me realize that, you know, there's so many ways you can be a nurse, and you don't have to work on a ward and, you know, do one particular thing your whole life. It's okay to move around and try different things. Like, it shouldn't be frowned upon that you haven't like worked at one ward for 10 years or something like that, you know. Just at the end of the day, do whatever makes you happy, because it's your life and you deserve the happiness.
100%.
And I suppose another sort of thing that sort of ties into this is like achieving like a healthy work-life balance. I chatted to one girl on the podcast, Georgia. She's a paramedic, and you know, we sort of discussed whether like it's possible to achieve a healthy work-life balance. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you've got to work with what you got. So shift work in itself and the nature of nursing, like the shift work is going against your body's natural rhythm, and there's actually been studies on how it shortens your life, which is not great, right? So what we can do with what we've got is really work with it. So I think the word balance in life is like this elusive unicorn word, because I feel that you're never really balanced in everything in every moment. It's just dealing with what's in front of you and making the best out of what you've got. So I think you've got to look at like what your life actually looks like, and what that, I say this in air quotes, like what that balance would mean for you, restoration, or what things you need to put in place to really help you to be okay dealing with what you're going through and dealing with shift work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I suppose it's like finding like what works for you. Like, don't do too many late earlies and things like that. Like, it's, you know, prefer if you put in your roster, you know, allocate what days and shifts you want to work. And, you know, I think that's really important, because then it allows you to, you know, if you have like a commitment for a hobby or a sport you play or something, then like that way you can actually make it to the training or the game or something. Otherwise you're constantly trying to swap shifts. So just, you know, suss the ward works or the unit you work on, and just see how you can sort of manipulate, you know, shift for you.
Yeah, 100%.
What would you say for new grads like joining the workforce and, getting into shift work if they before and, getting used to it? Apart from, I think this also comes in like making those rituals before and after work, it would be very important. But how else could we balance it?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, be easy on yourself and don't feel like you need to have it all figured out, because honestly, it might be the biggest transition you ever go through in your life, right? It's huge. It's so different. So breathe and really acknowledge yourself for where you're at and for getting to that point, first of all. But I would recommend, on top of the rituals, like, be as organized and prepared as you possibly can. So a lot of people feel like, oh my God, I've got to do it all. Like, I've got to meal prep, I've got to like clean the house, etc. If you can, like, outsourcing things and asking for help. So your nutrition and your health is so important during this time. So if you're struggling to like cook healthy meals and like do all the things that you need to do to look after yourself, then see if there's like a pre-made healthy meal option around your area where they like deliver to you every week, where you can just have, some things taken off your plate just while you get into the rhythm and the routine of this new chapter in your life. The other thing I really recommend, and this is what I did in my grad year, is hiring a personal trainer, because I didn't want to go to the gym after a late early, but if I knew,
Literally.
I've got this personal training session booked in, like, he's going to kick my ass if I don't go. So I know, like, I've committed to that, and often we'll show up for commitments for other people more so than ourselves. Like, it's really easy to talk to yourself for like, oh, I'm really tired, like, I don't want to go to the gym. But it really served my mental health having that exercise there. And even if it's like going for a walk, like, walking out in nature is just so underrated. And booking yourself into classes as well, like, go to Pilates is amazing for nurses because your back and everything, you will really want to strengthen your muscles, because especially going into full-time shift work, like, your body takes a beating. So doing something really nourishing in that regard. I'd also say, like, be really inquisitive about your beliefs and the way you show up in certain situations. And if you don't like how you're showing up or you don't feel good, then get some help or do some work to change it. And asking for that support and that help mentally, if you're struggling, like, hiring a coach, seeing a therapist, and not being scared to ask for help really would be my main thing. And, even like outsourcing in terms of hiring a cleaner, like, once a fortnight, just to take that pressure off you so that you can fully focus on you making this shift, because it's a big deal. And I think that it's not really, I don't think that workplaces really take into account how much of a life change it is to go from university to your grad year.
Definitely. Yeah, and in saying that, I also wanted to discuss, like, do you think that managers have a role to play in making like the whole environment and balance more positive?
Yes, absolutely. I think they do. So, a lot of managers have done their professional development. Obviously, they're very skilled in where they are, but they haven't really done the personal development that comes along with managing people. So, from my experience anyway, in my career, and I know talking to my colleagues, like, we haven't had that great of an experience with managers. And I think there's a few reasons for this, but having the team building skills and the people skills is so important. Like, you are actually a leader in that role, so you need to show up for that. And also, like, getting and feeling that compassion and the empathy for people entering the workforce is also really important. And I think a lot of managers have forgotten that and forgotten what it was like, and kind of just have these expectations on new nurses to be, showing up in the same ways as more seasoned nurses. So I think from a manager perspective, like, being approachable is super important. If you're not approachable, like, your team is not going to feel like they can come to you with issues. And they won't be completely honest with you because they're going to fear your response. The other thing I think is so important is like taking feedback. So being open to your team's feedback and really not making everything about you. But I've seen and experienced managers in the past who really think their way is the only way. Mm-hmm. And it's actually created like a toxic, resentful workplace. So an effective leader has to be open to all feedback as they too are on their growth journey, like everybody is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also this concept of like leaders go first. So you can't expect your team to do all these things that you never did or wouldn't be willing to do, because that really just makes them resent you. And really relationships are everything. Like nurturing your team and also allowing them the space to blossom is essential. Like healthcare is crazy enough and you really want to feel supported and safe taking on the day-to-day challenges that this career entails. So a high-performing leader will be a master in communication and really a master in relationship building as well. So having integrity is such a crucial part of leading people. So I think there is definitely space and work to be done personal development wise for managers, which I know and I really believe would shift the culture of healthcare, but it does come down to, you know, everybody taking responsibility and doing their part.
Wonderful. That sounds really good. Thank you. And I had one question that I got sent in that was really like interesting, because they asked, how can we prevent getting FOMO, like fear of missing out? They didn't specify like specifically, but I assume it's from like working a rotating roster and maybe missing out on events. So like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So of course, you know, wherever you can, requesting off, but I know that that's not always possible. So FOMO is really real when you work shifts, because there'll be times where you miss out on things and you can't completely prevent this feeling from coming up, but it's important to like acknowledge it and don't push those feelings down or downplay them, but allow them to move through you and really ask yourself some good quality questions like, will there be other times in the future that I'll be present, I'll be able to attend? Mm-hmm. And knowing as well in yourself that you are doing something so important and so beautiful by showing up for your patients. But I know that it sucks, you know, having to sacrifice the things that you want to be doing. The next is like, take a break from social media. So a lot of the time we feel like we're missing out when we look at socials and we're just thinking like, oh my God, I'm at work and everyone's having so much fun. But know that like social media is such a highlight reel and things are exaggerated and can often seem like way better than they are in real life there. And I always recommend like just taking time off social media if there's something that you're missing out on and just being super present where you are. And you could also plan something like for your time off with those people or that group or the friends that you weren't going to see or the family, and putting that in the diary so you have those things to look forward to and can hang out and be present in that. And I think as well, the more that you tune in and connect into yourself, the less like the outside stuff will kind of trigger responses in you. So that's really what I would say for FOMO.
Yeah, wonderful. And I think it's also just like having good communication with like the other people, whether it be your friends or family that you're having the FOMO from, because like I think some people don't really understand shift work. You know, it's like you've got to kind of work that shift. You can't always get the days off that you'd want, and you know, someone's got to work. It's a 24-hour. So I think it's important to sort of set those boundaries and say to, you know, whoever it is, like, you know, I'd really like to come, but I just can't take off this day. Like I've tried, but, you know, it's just not possible. And I think that the more you sort of like communicate it, then people should be understanding and will be like, oh, well, can you let me know next time? Like you can, like what days work for you and things like that, because you might not be able to get Friday or Saturday night off. So, you know, might need to try a weekday or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the chat. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
You're so welcome. I think just don't be scared of doing your inner work and exploring yourself, because it will honestly change your life and change the way that you show up as a nurse. And whatever you're feeling or whatever you're working through or going through right now, know that it will pass as well, and you've got this and you can do it.
Amazing. And I think that's a really good way to end it. And I hope that anyone that's listening to this episode, you know, you got something out of it, because I think we talked about so many important things that nurses go through, and especially as a new grad. So, yeah, thank you.